In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's time for your coolest conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. My guest today is a prolific prince of power pop, Kurt Baker. His latest digital single, Rock and Roll Club, is out now on Wicked Cool Records, and it's also a recent coolest song in the world. We'll hear some of that now, and then I'll be back with Kurt for your coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Back at you in Little Steven's Underground Garage with another Coolest Conversations. And today I am joined by the reigning prolific prince of power pop, Kurt Baker. His latest digital single, Rock and Roll Club, is out now on Wicked Cool Records, and it is this week's coolest song in the world. How are you, Kurt?
I'm doing wonderful, Manfred. It's great to be here again speaking with you.
Great to be speaking with you as well. Now, I know you're from Portland, Maine, originally. From Maine, but Portland specifically?
Portland, Maine. Born and raised in Portland, Maine, yeah.
But you lived in Spain for a number of years. In fact, the first time I met you was in Madrid. And it was kind of like, what? Kurt Baker's here?
Sure, yeah. How long did you
live in Spain?
So I was in Spain for 7 years, more or less, yeah, from 2013 to 2021 or so, like something like that. 7 years, 7 and 8. I'm actually in Spain right now, though. I'm on vacation, so yeah, here I am again.
Well, we're going to talk about your vacation over there, what you do on vacation. But it was the pandemic that took you back stateside.
That's right.
And so you live now in the States, or you're still up? Are you again in the Portland area?
I am in the Portland area, but I am. I've been really just moving around quite a lot. So I've got I've got family and friends in Spain that I visit often. And I am in Portland really temporarily as I look for a new spot to go to, big city probably.
Spot to rock.
So I've got a few options on my list, but
well, speaking of that, I saw you earlier this year in Los Angeles with a very nice lady. How is your better half doing?
Oh, she's wonderful, actually. We're getting married here in Spain at the end of the month of August. Yeah, so here we are in August already. So so we're really looking forward to that. So that's one of the
reasons. Well, congratulations, Kurt.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it'll be a really fun rock and roll party, I think. And
So is she? Tell us something about this lovely young lady. Is she a musician, or how did you meet? What's the dirt?
Well, we actually met at a wonderful rock and roll club in Madrid called the Wurlitzer Ballroom, and it's one of those perfect, you know, examples of a great rock and roll club that, you know, plays music, great, you know, music until 6 a.m. every night. And actually, coincidentally, that's where we met. So,
oh, wait, I want to explain this a little bit further, because we know in Spain it used to be even more prevalent, but it's still there, and it's not typical anywhere else in the world. But they have bars that they call rock and roll bars, and so the bars will play nothing but like rock and roll music. And I mean, I think that's pretty unique. What's your experience with those places?
Well, I basically lived in them while I was living in Spain. Yeah, I'd be there pretty late. They're, you know, in Madrid, which is the capital, you know, it's really where everything kind of happens. So you've got many different music bars. So you've got your garage rock bar, you've got your new wave bar, you've got your just, you know, Spanish rock bar. You got all these places that you can go to. And then of course there's, you know, heavy metal bars. There's bars for almost every genre of music that you can get into there. And so that's kind of fun because you can find your place. But
right. So this Wurlitzer ballroom where you met your lady at, that does it have a specific niche for rock and roll, or is this kind of place all kinds of rock and roll stuff?
In the past, it was a place where a lot of punk bands used to play, and I still a lot of punk bands go to play there. I've seen some wonderful shows there. But you know, as any one thing that's really kind of important to talk about and sad is raising the awareness that a lot of these rock and roll clubs are shutting their doors. So it's important that we continue to go and support them. And, you know, we always, you know, we play in them. So, you know, it's our livelihood, but now it's more of a place where many different, you know, alternative rock bands play, but it is a home for live music. So Wurlitzer Ballroom is actually in right in the center of Madrid. And it's just been a place where I've always loved to go. I've DJed there. I've played there. You can really hear on any given night all kinds of different, you know, it's alternative rock and roll underground music is what you'd see there. So it's a great place.
Well, I want to ask you or mention first, this is going to tie into our coolest song of the world this week, but you've done some really cool covers in the past, like you did a version of the Smithereens' Blood and Roses, and then both sides of that 2021 single, Keep It Tight and Getaway, A-side, cover of the Single Gun Theory tune, the B-side from that guy, Julian Lee. New digital single, Rock and Roll Club is another one, and it's got this really cool story to it. I want you to, you know, elaborate on this, but can you tell us about the songwriter and how his daughter is even involved on the recording?
Right. Yeah. So the song was played to me by a man named Kit Brown, who wrote the song and wrote many, many songs. He was a local guy from Portland, Maine, who was almost like a mentor to me. And I was friends with his daughter growing up, and she's a musician as well in Portland, and a wonderful.
And this is Gina Brown.
Songwriter.
Is that correct?
Be Gina Brown. That's correct. Yeah. So Gina. So they're like, you know, growing up, and when I was still living in Maine before going to Spain, you know, they were like family to me, and I would go over to Kip's house, and he would, you know, play me songs that he was writing all the time. Just brilliant, wonderfully funny, and sometimes just and sad and thoughtful, just wonderful songs. And he would also just play me all kinds of music that I would come to love. He kind of really taught me all about, you know, the Stooges, the New York Dolls. And then, you know, there would be times that I'd go over to his house and he goes, today I'm studying what was on the charts this week in 1964. And we'd sit around and he'd pull out all the videos from YouTube and we'd listen to them. And so we'd be like, okay, this is what everyone was listening to back then. And then, you know, we'd put on a record. And so he played me the song Rock and Roll Club. And the original version was a little bit different than what we ended up recording. We changed a little bit of the arrangements around because it was never really recorded. It was just kind of done. I had maybe a phone recording that he had played me once. And a lot of his songs were never recorded, and he sadly passed away.
Let me ask you about that. Yeah. So he was writing all these songs. Did he perform at all in the area?
Yeah. Okay. So he used to perform. He had many bands, but he was most well known for a group called the Pontiffs. And so I would see the Pontiffs when I was younger. I'd play shows, and you know, I remember him, you know, just being this figure on stage, just playing his Les Paul, and just, you know, he was so well respected in the community because he just loved music and was a positive guy. So he played a lot, and so if you would go and see his band play, you'd remember the songs because they were so memorable. But he never ended up putting out an album.
What? Isn't that strange?
It is. You know, he did some recordings, a session with Cub Coda actually produced it. But those recordings never came out either. So it was just one of those things where it's just he was so prolific, but I think every time he got into the studio, it never was right for him. The recordings never worked or for whatever reason, I'm not really sure. But before I left for Spain, I'd said to him, I said, you know, Kip, you have so many great songs. And if it's all right with you, I'm going to record some of them. And so I have a few records with that, with some of his stuff on it. And Rock and Roll Club. So like he passed away 2 years ago. And so it just so happened that we were getting songs together for the new album, and I was going through, you know, demos and all this stuff. And I just passed over this one, which was Rock and Roll Club. And it was, you know, Kip's idea, and he was singing. I said, you know what, we got to record a version for him, you know, to and dedicate to him in memory of Kip. But it also got me thinking about my own, you know, beginnings as a rock and roll musician and growing up and going to these, you know, rock and roll clubs when I was younger. And some of them were, you know, that they'd let me get in, and even if I wasn't 21, but when I was in there, I'd be like, yes, I'm seeing live rock and roll bands play. And it just influenced me to do this for my whole life. So, you know, it was, important song in that way too, because it's just really a homage to these music venues that make our world go round, you know.
Well, that relates back to the whole sort of, I was talking about the rock and roll bars as well. Now, his daughter, you mentioned Gina, how did she become involved with the recording?
Well, Gina's been, you know, just best friends with me for so many years. So she actually was on our last record. She came by while we were recording After Party and sang some vocals on that. And she's just so professional. She just shows up, she sings it in a couple takes. And it's just amazing when you can work with people like that. You know, it's just like, oh my God, you get it. And
I think they're called musicians.
Yeah, that's it. Well, you know,
sometimes there's a difference between a dude who plays in a band and a musician. Have you ever noticed?
Right. Oh yeah. Yeah. I try to, I've been in bands with both.
Yeah.
but yeah, so Gina's just a sweetheart and just a wonderful person. And there's so many things that are so similar, with Gina and Kip, you know, you can definitely tell that they're related. So
now does she play music regularly in the area? Or not?
She does. Yeah. So she's got a band in Portland called Euphemia, and they're really a wonderful band too. So she does get around to play in Maine locally, but doesn't do a lot of touring yet. I know she'd love to do that, but for the moment, it's more of just a local group. But if you're in Maine, check them out.
And so you mentioned, you know, Rock and Roll Club as you were. You know, they wanted to do it, they thought about doing it as you were trying to put together demos and thinking about songs for an upcoming album. When is that album due out?
So the album is out on September 29th. It is. Yes.
All right.
Okay. Of this year. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So it's just down the road, a piece. So the liner notes I was handed for Rock and Roll Club list, fellow Wicked Cool Records artist Chris Rogers on keyboards. We were talking about Gina Brown. She's backing vocals, and drummer Craig Sala. Your longtime contributor, Wyatt Funderburk, is on it as well, yourself. But I don't see Jeff Palmer. And I mentioned that because we're going to go out with the tune Anchors Up that you guys co-wrote. I wanted to know, does he collaborate on any other tracks on the album, the upcoming album?
Actually, Jeff's on the whole record. I don't know why he wouldn't be on that. There must have been some issue with the liner notes, because he's definitely playing guitar on that record.
Right. Well, I have to say, when I get sent this information about who plays on what, you know, about 70% of the time, it's wrong.
Right.
Which is why I'm asking.
Yeah.
So Jeff is on Rock and Roll Club, and he plays plays on the whole album.
He's on the whole album. He's the whole record is basically, we had a lot of nice guests come in and play on the record, but the majority of the songs, the core group is there, which is, as you mentioned, Chris, Craig on drums, Wyatt and Jeff. And so we are based, that's the Kurt Baker band. So we got Jeff on there. And Jeff and I recorded a few, or we wrote and recorded a few songs. And that was something that I loved doing once I got back to the States after living in Spain, because I was living very close to where Jeff was. So like I would go down to his house and we were able to work on a bunch of tracks. So like Anchors Up is one of those that we really were able to collaborate on. And I'm really happy with how that came out. But in general, for this record, it was very, very fun to like try out some new collaborations. So, I've got songs with Wyatt, and then I also have a couple songs with Jeff. We wrote another song that was with another one of our drummers, Zach Sprague, who's actually touring with us now. Okay. And it was just great. Actually, and I wrote another song on the record with Kevin from Prima Donna, who's also on the label. So
Kevin Preston.
So that was really cool. We've got Rock and Roll Club by Kip, and a couple songs from the record I also wrote with my good buddy Mark, who lives in Madrid, but he used to play in a band called Chicks Dig It from Canada.
Oh, I remember them. Yeah. I used to work in a record store in the back in the 90s, and
nice.
Chicks Dig It's
CD. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so
yeah, he has a few songs. Oh, no. Yeah. So it's just a mix of a bunch of people's, you know, songs and ideas, but it's a KB band record for sure.
I read online, well, today, you know, it was the 4th of August. And I read online that you were playing a show last weekend in Spain. Was that, and then now you mentioned that you're overseas and you're going to get married at the end of August. So
right.
Have you been touring at all? Well, while you're there in Spain?
Not really. I've just been basically kind of kicking back and going to the beach as much as I can. But I did have a little gig last week with some local guys from around here. I'm in the southern part of Spain. And so that was really fun. We did a little, it was like an outdoor show with this thing called Aspectos. And Aspectos, they take this like steel rod and they put a bunch of fish on it and they cook the fish over like an open fire and it's delicious. So they had that going, all kinds of fun. So I kind of just did a fun little gig with some local dudes here. But I'm not really doing any shows this summer until the record's out. So when the album comes out, September 29th, we are playing in Boston that night, followed by another show on the 30th in Portland. And then we're going to be going to, in October, we're going to be going to Japan. So,
have you ever been to Japan before?
I have. Yes. I went a few years back and I'm very excited to return, this time with the American KB band in support of the new record. So,
Well, let me ask about Japan.
Cool stuff.
So when I have done that before, it was always, you know, people in bands kind of setting it up. And sometimes this would be with Guitar Wolf, or it would be like the group of Fadeaways or Goggle Ace.
Yes.
So how did you set this up?
Basically the same way. Yeah. We have some friends that play in a band called the Neat Beats.
Oh, I know the Neat Beats. Yeah.
So
are they from is it Osaka or where
they're from? Yes, they're from Osaka. I think Mr. Pan is in Tokyo. He's got a little club there. So they're very nice guys. And so they're the ones that kind of set that up for us.
So as I remember the Neat Beats, it was they were kind of like a Japanese version of the Kaisers to me, right?
Yes,
very sort of early Beatles-esque sort of thing, it's 1962 or 1963 kind of sounding,
exactly,
like the Searchers or something like that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And they do it so well. But they I was talking to their guitar player last time we were in Japan. I was like, so, I was asking him about music, and I was like, so what's like one of your favorite bands? Like, if you had to choose one of your top bands, and I was sure he was going to say the Beatles, but he goes, the Kaisers. And I'm like, wow, okay. Yeah. Well, I get it. And they do that sound so well. So it's definitely different than our sound, but we did play some shows with them when I went to Japan the first time. This time around, I don't think we're going to be gigging with them. We are playing a fun festival called the Halloween Ball.
I've done that.
Oh yeah. Okay. Nice. Yeah.
It's like a couple of night thing. Couple
that's
of
right. Night.
Yeah. 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 And so, we think of, Halloween being a very American holiday with the dressing up, and so it's not something that's celebrated there nationally, but people do celebrate it. And when they do celebrate it, they take it very seriously. And when we were playing with those bands, they're dressed up. I mean, they are all in costumes, right? And so the first time we were like, what, really? We had some simple masks, but it's like, no, they're like, you better get yourself some kind of outfit or you will not
step up to the plate. I know. It's like we played it the last time too. So it's kind of basically the same kind of tour as we did the few years back.
Yeah.
So I went there with the combo and then the Kurt Baker combo. And this time I'm going with the Kurt Baker band. But oh man, yeah, I remember seeing this one band. They were all dressed in these like banana costumes. And it was
they had a lot of appeal, is what you're telling me.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah. They were fantastic. And so yeah, everyone dresses up and Japan is just an exotic and just amazing spot. I've never been to a place like it, and I'm excited to get back there. And I guess we're gonna have to be working on what we're gonna wear for the Halloween ball.
Are.
We gotta get, so gotta get our costumes in order.
Here's what we did. So one night we did a Day of the Dead thing. Figured that it would be pretty easy to put together. So we brought over in our luggage these sombreros, and then the paint, right? The makeup, whatever we put on. And so that was one. And then the other one was, you've been there before. So, they have these, the guys that work on do the street work, have a uniform, right? It's like this blue kind of jumpsuit and this kind of helmet and this sort of a day glow or orange kind of reflective belts. And, so that they're like working on the work sites, but then they have these sort of robot signs to direct traffic, and they'll have like a wand. And so it's kind of this caricature of sometimes it's like a full size mannequin, and other times it's like just a two dimensional placard, but it's the outline of the person, a person's height. And they're, they have the robot arm kind of going up and down to direct the traffic. And so we dressed up like those mannequins, those robots. And then we came out on
stage. That's amazing.
Kind of standing there together, in unison, moving our arms up and down, and then went and played.
Oh, so, what fun. Yeah. That's amazing.
So you can use either one of those.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Get some mileage out of it.
We're going to have to figure that out. Cause last time we realized that we needed to dress up, and we weren't even thinking about it, but the hotel that we were staying at, they had given us some robes and stuff just to wear to the showers and things. So we just put those on. So we were looking kind of like we were ready to take a nice bath, but it was really hot on stage. So it was actually quite comfy.
I was saying you were just being, you know, bachelor, American bachelor, rock and roll bachelors, I guess.
In Japan, yeah.
In Japan, that's a thing. Well, we've talked about Rock and Roll Club, and I mentioned that you had the single that came out, was also a cool song back in May on Wicked Cool, Anchors Up. And you were talking about you wrote that with Jeff. So how did that collaboration come together? Was it he or you that had the initial idea, or did you sort of get together at the same time and come up with it? How was that song put together?
Right. So I had been working on, a bunch of songs for a few years leading up to the recording of the record. And so I had an idea that I'd been sitting around, you know, with from Madrid, actually. So I went back to the States, and I had a few ideas, and I brought this music idea down to Jeff, and I said, "Hey Jeff, here's the track, but I'm not feeling like so good about the lyrics. Do you think you could help?" And he goes, "Yeah, sure, great." So the next day he kind of woke up and started writing some lyrics, and I came back downstairs to kind of see what he had been working on. And he pretty much had all the lyrics written out. And once his verses had been kind of completed, we were able to kind of form what the chorus would be. And the chorus kind of became, you know, such a big thing, you know, with the repeated voices and all of that, and started sounding really catchy. But yeah, I owe it all to Jeff for really kind of taking the reins with the lyrics. The music was pretty much there, but lyrics are so important too sometimes, and they don't usually come as easy to me as they do to Jeff. Jeff's just a master with sitting down with, you know, a pad of paper and a pen and just starting to put down some really nice lyrics that flow. And so it was just a really cool experience to collaborate with him, and we did it a few times with a few other songs, but this was really the first time. And the amount of time we've been in a band together, it's been a long time, but we never really sat down to write together. So finally we were able to do that, and Anchors Up was the lead off single. And I've been getting a lot of great response from friends and fans about the track. So I'm really proud of it.
Now, in the video you made for it, you're like walking along this nice sort of walkway or path.
Yeah.
And I was looking at that and I was thinking, well, I guess that's in Portland because it seems so nice, you know? And then I saw like a sign, a traffic sign. I thought, oh man, that's Europe. And then later on, I figured it's got to be Spain because I see palm trees in there. So when and where did you shoot that?
So we were on tour in Spain last March. And so that was the first time that the KB band had toured in Spain together for 10 years. So it was like, you know, after the pandemic and everything's happened, it was like, for me, I wanted to just kind of get back to my roots. And so a lot of that had to do with, you know, getting back with the old band. So we did After Party, and then, you know, it took some time for us to get the tour together, but we finally were able to get it done. Our good friend Juancho Lopez set it up. And
Juancho used to play in the Kurt Baker combo too, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So, you know, Juancho continues to be my Spanish manager, and does the touring and stuff for us.
Does he drive the van?
So he didn't on this tour, but he's actually got a really cool record shop now in Leon. So that takes up a lot of his time. But he was able to come to a handful of the gigs, and we had him up to play some songs with us. So he's a member of the family. He's a member of the band, no matter what the formation is. But we were on tour there in March, and it was a lot of fun. We had, you know, great shows every night. It was so nice to be back on tour and then be playing with, you know, my old buds. And we had a couple days off, and the days off were actually in this little town called Benicassim, which is close to Castellón. So we were playing in Castellón, and then we had the days off there. And we kind of were just hanging out. And one day Wyatt came back from a walk, and he goes, "Hey guys, I got this idea for a video. It's going to be a single shot video, I've mapped out everything. I was, you know, so what he did basically was he was walking around the beach and he was listening to the song. He figured out exactly every spot, you know, where we'd start the song, where, you know, Jeff would enter in and where Chris would come in and where we would make a turn at all this. And it would all have to be done in just this one single shot. Right. And so it seemed like a crazy idea, but we had the day off and we said, okay, let's do it. And we tried filming it once. We did like one test run and it went really well. Our friend Luis was actually filming it for us. And he had to walk backwards the entire time.
Cause you're like going down some steps. And I was thinking,
right,
man, whoever's doing this is either walking backwards or maybe they used a drone or something.
No,
you know?
Well, no, we didn't use the drone. We could have actually, that would have been kind of neat, but yeah, it was all just filmed by Lewis. It was walking backwards, but, to help Lewis out, we had our roadie, our driver, T-Boy, who was the best boy, I guess. He was like kind of making sure that, you know, Lewis wasn't going to fall over or trip on anything. So he was kind of guiding Lewis as he was walking backwards and we were just, you know, walking. And yeah, we did the whole thing in one take and it was just really kind of fun to try out and do and have it kind of go so smoothly. So we were like, that's the video.
That's very cool. So
yeah,
Wyatt, he had the concept for it. He directed it.
He directed it. Yeah.
I know he's been a long time collaborator with you, but I guess he's also a budding filmmaker now too.
Yeah. He's a very creative, talented guy. He can do pretty much anything.
All right. Well, Kurt, thank you so much for chatting with me today on Our Coolest Conversations.
It's great. Great time as always, Manford. I love chatting with you, man.
All right. Well, we're going to take a listen now to Anchors Up. It's Kurt Baker in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Of Anchors Up, that was Kurt Baker here in Little Steven's Underground Garage off of his Wicked Cool Records single. I'm the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Kurt for speaking with me today on Our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. New Jersey's Gaslight Anthem are back with a new single, Positive Charge. It's from an upcoming album that's due out this fall. Next time around, I'll be joined by their main man, Brian Fallon, to tell us all about it. That's your next Coolest Conversations, presented by Hard Rock, here in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.